a guten Chodesh, a guten Erev Shabbos. This is Daniel Eisenberg with the Daily Aliyah. We're going to do the last two Aliyos, Shishi and Shvi, Parshas Tezriya Mitzorah, this double Parsha. In a normal year, this would be a Revi through Shvi to the end of the Parsha, Parshas Mitzorah. So we have four Aliyos to do. And let us begin. So there are really two major topics that finish off the Parsha for us. First of all, there's the Beis Manuga, the house with Tsaras. And then secondly, different bodily secretions that could make somebody tamei. So the first case is the Beis Manuga, the house that seems to have something kinega, like an affliction, not sure. We check it out. We go to the Kohen. We quarantine the house for a little bit. Try to remove the thing that looks like the affliction. We're not sure if it's tzaras or not. If it comes back, take it out again. If it keeps, if even taking all the pieces off that had the tzaras or this affliction, and you come back again, and it's spreading again, then we completely destroy the house. So that's the first discussion, and we had the procedure for purifying the house, assuming it can be purified, is similar to the one with the Mitzorah. Like with two birds and the pottery and, you know, that, you know, the Azov. So it's worth noting, taking a look at the two, sections side by side to try to note what the difference is and why the differences are those differences between the Mitzorah's purification and the Beis HaManuga's purification, but it is similar. Just to give a couple of Midrashic comments on the Beis HaManuga, first of all, one point that's mentioned is that the Beis HaManuga isn't really affected right away. Let me rephrase that. That when a person is going to get tzaras, they do something wrong. So one midrash says that it starts off with the house, and if he doesn't take all the warnings, then it goes to the clothing, and then it goes to his body. It's seemingly Hashem's mercy that he'll do it in different levels, and I guess farther than closer to the person himself. But there's another midrash that says that this is a particular response to stinginess. If somebody doesn't have their, or doesn't lend out their property when people ask, and more than they don't lend out their things, they claim not to have, right? They claim they don't give tzedakah. I'm sorry, I don't have, I can't afford. I'm sorry, I don't have a shovel to lend you. So the response is going to be for the stinginess that he's going to have a Beis HaManuga. He's going to have to take everything out of his house, because before the Beis HaManuga is officially diagnosed as having tzaras, so the Torah tells him to take everything out of his house so that when the Kohen comes, it doesn't become retroactively tamei, it won't become tamei. But if it's in the house when it's declared tamei, then the things will be declared tamei. Just showing, by the way, the halachic reality of the Kohen's words, and that we're not talking about like a real disease, because that wouldn't make sense. If it was a real disease and real germs, that just because you haven't gotten the diagnosis yet doesn't mean that retroactively all the germs aren't there. Anyway, Chazal say that this person who is being stingy, all of a sudden all his property has to be outside his house, and everyone says, "Oh, look, you do have a shovel. Oh, well, you have some really fancy china sets there, and you can't afford to give a couple bucks to tzedakah," and he is shamed for his stinginess through the Beis HaManuga. So obviously a lot more to say on that, but we'll move on, try to keep it as close to 5 minutes as possible. So anyway, the next discussion is that of the discharges from a person, from a male and female. There's two for each. There's Balkari and a Balkari and a Zav, and a woman becoming a Nida and a Zava. So Balkari and Nida are more standard, obviously. Right? Woman experiences Nida continuously, and a man, many times throughout his life, a healthy person will become a Balkari, have a seminal emission. For a man to be a Zav or a woman to be a Zava, to have this a little bit of an irregular flow, is going to be some sort of some sort of indication that they're not well. And there's sources in Chazal that seem to say that they are results of certain averos. Now, also Nidus and Balkari, also there are indications in Chazal that these are also this tuma that comes on people for these things also results from various averos, whether going back to Chava or just a person's general levity, which will result in him becoming a Balkari. But the bottom line is that all of these things really fall into a similar category as Tsaras, which the majority of Tazria spoke about, which was Tumah and I guess Taharas Haguf, Kedushas Haguf, that you have different things that can happen to a person's body to make them Tameh from the inside, meaning not even things that they came in contact with. Also, these things are mentioned here, but we're talking primarily about the person themselves, a Metzora, a Nida, a Balkari, a Zav, a Zava, that these people have Tumah on them. And I'm told to do our best to stay tahor, but it's impossible, obviously. It's impossible to stay tahor all the time. So we do our best, right? I mean, Anita could not possibly in this world until, you know, until things change in a very big way and Hashem changes the nature of human beings. Anita cannot not become Anita. Balkari cannot not become a Balkari. Tsaras, okay, we could try to avoid, but it's saying that there are ups and downs in Tumah and Tahara, and that's okay. That's the reality of the world we live in. We should try as much to distance ourselves from Tumah to connect to Tahara. Obviously, we have greater opportunity to connect to Hashem, to go to the Beis HaMikdash when we have it, maybe we have it soon, when we have Tahara, and that is supposed to be a standard we're supposed to try to live on. May everyone have a Chodesh Tov of Yeshuos, Nechamos, Refuos, and just a true geula and an unbelievably beautiful Shabbos.